Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Emotions, can you trust them? That's our question for the day. And Richard, how would you answer it?
I'm not sure how I feel about that, Bob. The answer is you cannot trust your emotions. You just can't. They're real. They're there, but they don't have any sense of reality. And so you don't want to trust them. You want to be led by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and by clear decisions, and then see what happens with the emotions after that.
Yeah, you know, we're emotional creatures. Mm-hmm. God designed us to have feelings and to express those feelings. And so there's nothing wrong with feelings. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, anger. In your anger, don't sin. So he's not saying having the feeling of anger is a sin. He's saying don't allow anger to control you. But so often, as human beings, we allow our feelings to control our decisions in life. We feel something, then we do something. And that gets us into a lot of trouble. But the Word of God is very clear and focused on the renewing of the mind, changing the way we think, because the way we think and what we think really is the engine that drives our feelings. So our feelings simply respond to what's going on in these minds of ours. So if we'll get the idea of first thinking, and then from that thinking that has been brought about by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, we're relying on the truth of the Word of God that's renewing our minds, then we act upon that by faith, then our feelings will follow suit, and they will be positive feelings, and we can enjoy those particular feelings. But oftentimes we think erroneous things, you know, God hates me, life is never going to be good, woe is me. And when we think those thoughts, our feelings follow. And if we make decisions out of those rotten feelings, fear and anxiety and guilt and self-pity and loathing and all of that sort of stuff, they're not going to be good decisions. I can just guarantee it.
No.
So we need to really come back to the point and realize that truth is what's going to set us free. Truth is what's going to enable us to experience the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those things that transcend human emotion. And then we will experience the positive human emotions that go along with those
yes.
very things. So this is a very, very practical subject. Maybe you're in bondage to some emotion right now. You're trying to figure out, why do I feel this way? How did I get into this particular situation? Well, if so, let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377. Well, we're going to start in Los Angeles and talk with Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Richard. You know who I am, right?
Yes.
Richard, did you get my message?
Just that you called in right now and asking about the bad dreams and all that?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I wouldn't put any stock in it at all. The fact that you are on certain medications for pain and all of that, those medications have known side effects for dreams.
I'm not taking no medication.
Okay.
None.
Well, I still wouldn't put any stock in bad dreams. Trust Jesus and let the truth of what the Holy Spirit teaches about your unconditional love and acceptance in Him, your assurance of salvation if you belong to Him, let those truths set you free from the fear and anxiety that causes these bad dreams and the just the things that we have to go through every day.
So the Bible doesn't speak about interpreting dreams?
There were people in the Bible who had dreams, Nebuchadnezzar, Pharaoh, Joseph, you know, at various times, And those dreams were there to drive them to a certain point of truth. But all of those things have been superseded by Jesus Christ. And so now the what your thoughts can be are thoughts of who he is and what he has accomplished, what he means to you right now. And if you have a dream, then it should confirm what your relationship with Jesus. If you're having a bad dream, having other stuff, it is what it is, but I wouldn't take it any farther than that. It's not God trying to tell you something that's terrible.
Yeah, those are, you know, dreams. You know, sometimes we'll read the Bible or be in the middle of prayer and we'll have, you know, these crazy thoughts that race through our heads. And, you know, if we dwell on that, we think, wow, I must be really messed up. I must be really, you know, out to lunch. I'm reading the Bible. I shouldn't be having those thoughts. But we're humans. We have sin living in us. We have flesh hanging on us that are, you know, that are opposed to God. And so it's just natural for us to have some crazy thoughts. Well, don't give credence to them. Just look at it and say, that's a crazy thought or that's a bad dream. It doesn't determine who I am. It doesn't determine my future. It doesn't determine my destiny. Jesus has clearly laid out what determines who I am and my destiny. And what's been laid out is his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact through faith, I can know him personally and be saved. And that's what we have to rely upon, that particular truth. Well, Tom, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. I think it will be a blessing to you. You hang on. Let's go to El Mirage, Arizona, and talk with Melquez, listening to us on KXXT. Did I say your name correctly?
Yes, you have.
Okay.
Yes, you did.
Well, nice. Hello? Nice to hear from you. How can we help you today?
Oh, yes. My question is, I was listening to you yesterday, and there was one person that had called and was talking about he was struggling with, I think it was drugs and the homosexuality thing. And one of the questions he kind of mentioned was he saved? And because he had repented, but he was struggling with the sin and continued to struggle with the sin. And my question goes to this thing that people believe in. It says it's once saved, always saved. And if that is true, I can't find anything where it's biblical. If it's true, can you explain to me where Jesus Christ is talking in our Revelations, the third chapter, and I think it was around the fifth, when he talks about, if anyone who overcome, he will not blot out their name out of the book of life.
Well, that's a perfect assurance of salvation passage, because it is a clear declaration that Jesus will not blot anyone's name out of the book of life. So if you're saved, your name is added to the book of life, and he's just made the most assuring statement that you could possibly hear, that it will never be blotted out. That gives assurance. And the reason it won't be blotted out is because of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. We've been joined to Jesus by faith. We've been baptized into his death. We've been baptized or placed into his burial. And we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So that old guy that was lost, that was separated from God, that didn't have the Spirit of God living in him, that guy is gone. And somebody new has been raised. That's me with the Spirit of God, with the promise that God will never leave me nor forsake me. So that's...
But what if, like he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white linen, and I will not blot out his name. But what if you don't overcome? Will he blot out your name?
It doesn't say that. It says he will never blot out your name.
But he says that he that overcometh.
Here's the person who overcomes. This is love for God. This is the person who does it. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you've believed that Jesus is the Son of God, it says that you have life in him. That life is eternal. That life grants you a line in the Lamb's Book of Life with the promise that it will never be blotted out. So if you've come to Christ by faith, you have overcome the world, and you are a believer, a child of God, saved forever.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Good conversation today. Well, let's go to Phoenix and talk to Phil, listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Phil.
How you doing there, Bob?
Doing well. Hi. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. It's always a blessing to hear you. I learned a lot from this ministry. I got a question to ask you about. I heard some local healing minister saying about that Christians could be infected by spirits, and that one third of the Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John points out that there's a lot of history that people were affected by spirits. And the question is, when like in the past, like ministers like Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker, and they've been believers for a long time, but then they've been infected by spirits, by adultery and other things that were going on with them. And I just wanted to know if believers could be infected by that.
Well, Phil, good question. And here's the answer. As far as demon possession is concerned, once a person is a child of God, once a person is saved, that person has received the gift of God's Spirit. So God's Spirit has come to live in that person. And God's Spirit will not share his dwelling place with any other spirit. So it is impossible for a believer to be demon-possessed. There is no such thing as a believer being demon-possessed.
Okay.
Those we encounter in the pages of the Gospels, those were folks that were lost, either possessed by a demon or controlled by a demon. Jesus exorcised them. They left. But he said, if nothing changes, then seven more will come back. And what he was alluding to is that, if somebody was demon-possessed, they have to first get the Spirit out, and then that will make room for the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit comes in, he seals that person, and no other spirit can enter in. So that's good news, isn't it? We cannot be demon-possessed. The second part of this, Phil, is the fact that there are demons out there. There is demonic activity. And they try to exert their influence over us with thinking, with deception. Deception is really their only tool. That's how Satan basically tricked Adam and Eve. He deceived them. They bought into the deception as if it were true. And their choice to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil plunged all of humanity into sin and death. But as believers, Satan and his band of demons can try to exert influence over us through deceptive measures. For example, if I sin, I start thinking thoughts, well, how can a Christian do something like that? And I wonder if God really loves me. And then Satan takes those thoughts and embellishes them until you get to the point where you doubt the finished work of Christ for you. It's okay for somebody else, but I've just blown it, crossed the line. I've just been lost forever. That's not true. But Satan, through his deceptive means, has convinced us to think that it's true. So what's the remedy to that? Is it trying to get rid of the demon? No, it's coming back to truth. Here's what the Word of God has to say. And when we know the truth sets us free. So it gets back to walking in truth, Phil, as a believer in Christ.
Well, no, you know, I was just wondering because, you know, a lot of ministers that, you know, lead a lot of people on, and, you know, a lot of them, you think that they have a spiritual life, you know, walking in Jesus, and you find out about certain ones that was doing this wrong and doing that wrong. So do you think, is God still forgiving, even though that they teach all this, you know, knowledgeable stuff about Jesus, you know? I mean, they're, you know, they go on television and all that.
Well, Phil, there's false prophets that are out there. The Bible speaks to those false prophets. It talks about their motives. It talks about the substance of their messages. And those false prophets one day are going to stand before God, and they're going to say, look at all the wonderful things that I did in your name. And God will look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. So they've never come to Christ by faith. Now, we can't make that judgment about people and, you know, whether they're saved or not saved. That's a judgment
right.
that only God can make. But what we can do is listen to what's being said and then test what's being said up against the Word of God. If it passes the Word of God test, then we receive it for what it is. If it doesn't, we reject it.
And yeah, now we shouldn't be looking to man anyway in the first place.
You're exactly right. But there's been a movement out there that, you know, there's demons and spirits and everything. I love this, the adultery spirit. No, that's just the flesh looking at another female or another male and saying, ooh, I like them, and taking a step closer to that person, getting to know them, putting yourself in a tempting situation, and then ultimately giving in to it. You know, that's just, you know, that's just us human beings carrying out desires of the flesh. We don't need to pin that on a demon or Satan himself. Certainly Satan can have a part in that, making that particular person look desirable to us. He may be, you know, they're saying, hey, she smiles all the time. What about your wife? Well, she doesn't. And, you know, or you know, all of these things can bring that contrast and comparison into our heads. But it's us that are making that decision to do that.
And then the enemy compromises things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good question.
I don't want to take up your time. I'm sure other people are waiting.
Well, good question,
Phil. I
appreciate
you giving me information, yeah.
You're more than welcome. Let me put a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer, in your hand, into your hands. I think it will be a wonderful resource for you and really answer some of the questions that you've asked. And we would love to do that, okay? You hang on, Phil.
Appreciate it. Thanks
for your call today. We're going to send Phil this book, The Hurt and the Healer, by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Bart is the lead singer of Mercy Me. He has a wonderful story to tell. We're actually going to air that story on Monday's broadcast,
yes.
Labor Day. So make a note, tune in, you will be blessed. He was with us, I think, last week.
Last week, yes.
And, boy, he's infectious. The joy and the passion that's in that guy's heart. And you can tell he's a guy that's been changed by the grace of God, actually just transformed. He was going through all the motions, doing all the things that he thought was right. He was playing the church game, and that ended up getting him nowhere. He was still wondering what is real, and he found it in the grace of God when he learned that his sins were totally forgiven, that he was living in a new covenant, that Christ Jesus was alive, living in him. Those were the truths that brought healing to his soul. And he learned a lot of those truths through Andrew Farley. They collaborated on this book. And they have just put together a wonderful, wonderful resource. Practical, filled with scripture. It's a wonderful tool not only for you and your spiritual growth, but it's something that you can pass on to others. And we want to put it in your hands for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. This is a listener-supported broadcast.
Yes,
we rely on gifts from friends like you. And as our way of saying thank you, we want to minister back into your life. And this is the way we do so, by putting a resource like this into your hands. So help us continue reaching out with this good news, helping people like Phil and Melquez and Tom get answers to the questions that are haunting them or keeping them up at night, connecting them to the love of God. Help us continue to do that, and we will minister back to you with this resource. You can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net. Basicgospel.net. The information on how to make a contribution is right on the front page. Just click the Hurt and the Healer icon, and all the instructions on what to do next will pop up. Or you can call Billy right now at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. We would like to move, we would like to put about 1,000 of these in different people's hands around the country. So help us do that as well. Again, 1-800-727-2828. Well, let's go to Johnston, Rhode Island, and talk to Paul, listening to us on WARV. Hi, Paul.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, Paul.
My question is basically how we know that demons cannot come into us, but how close can they get to us? A friend who was a very strong Christian, born again, been a Christian a long time, she was walking down the road the other day and she fell down for no apparent reason. And my question is, can a demon get that close to us to cause one to be physically hurt?
Paul, the Bible really doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't paint any pictures of how they work or what happens. It just really says that they use deception as their tool, as their weapon of choice. Really, that's all that they have. And that's exactly what Satan did in the garden. He took what was true, he twisted it, and came up with a lie. It sounded...
But he actually did fall down. I don't see where there was deception.
Well, what I'm saying is we don't know that was a demon that caused that.
Right.
I mean, that's an interpretation, but you're not going to find where that's a valid interpretation from the Word of God. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we could pin that on a demon and say that a demon was responsible for it, but we're never going to be sure of that answer. We can't know that for sure. But what we do know is when a demon tries to attack us, it's through deception. Deception is the weapon that he uses. That's why we need to walk in truth. That's why truth is so vitally important. And when we abide in the Word, we receive the teaching of Jesus Christ, we understand what truth is, and that truth can set us free. So that's the key thing that we see in the Word of God. It's a truth error type of thing. When we're in error, we're in bondage. When we're walking in truth, we experience freedom. Well, Paul, thanks for your call today.
Right.
We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book as well. It's The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And we certainly need your help right now. Summer is notoriously a low time as far as contributions, not only for our ministry, but for all ministries. And we certainly don't want to fall behind as we move into the end of the year. So if you could help us with a gift today, we would greatly appreciate it. And to minister back into your life, we want to send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. All the information on how to contribute is online at basicgospel.net. Basicgospel.net. Just click on the icon on the front page, follow all of the instructions, or you can call Billy right now at 1-800-727-2828. Well, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with an edition of Basic Gospel.